Hey,
I'm Andy.
And you're listening to the HMO Podcast. Over 10 years ago, I set myself the challenge of building my own property portfolio. And what began as a short-term investment plan soon became a long-term commitment to change the way young people live together. I've now built several successful businesses, I've raised millions of pounds of investment, and I've managed thousands of tenants. Join me and some very special guests to discover the tips, tricks and hacks, the ups and the downs, the best practice, and everything else you need to know to start, scale and systemize your very own HMO portfolio. Now.
Today, I'm joined by Van Vogstad. Van has, of course, joined me on the podcast before. He is one of the co-founders of Coho. And unless you've been living under a rock, you'll be aware that they have produced and made some pretty cool software for property management, specifically for HMOs. But don't be fooled, because if you think that that is all Coho are doing, you are wrong. Today, I am going to be getting some scoop from Van on what Coho are really up to and how they are planning to completely revolutionise, to completely transform the HMO industry, not just for you or I as property investors, but for tenants and investors as well. This is going to be a very interesting episode. And if you want to know what the future of our industry may well look like, then this is an episode you will not want to miss. Now, before I get into this conversation with Van, I wanted to let you know very quickly that I will be out and about at the Property Investors Show on the 19th and 20th of April. So if you are planning to be there, or if you're not, maybe I can convince you to make sure you get down. I'll be jumping on a couple of panel discussions now. One of them is a panel discussion for the award that we won at the Property Investors Award. That is on Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th, on both days at 3:30. And the panel that I'll be on is award-winning Property Investment Strategies Revealed. Come and listen to me and my business partners and the panel talk about award-winning property investment strategies. I believe you'll be able to ask some questions and it should be very, very interesting. I'll also be on a HMO-specific panel on Saturday the 20th at 10:45 a.m. And the title of that panel is How to Create, Grow and Systemize Your HMO Business. I believe that is an open format, so you can actually come and throw all of your questions at me and the rest of the panel. It's sure to be a really interesting discussion and it would be great to have you there. Now, if you do just see me knocking around the Property Investor Show, I'll be hanging around for most of the weekend. Make sure you come and say hi, come and say hello. I don't often get out and about, certainly not in London, but it really would be fantastic to meet some of you guys. So if you are there, make sure you come and say hello. I'd really, really like that. One of the really cool things about the Property Investor Show is that as an attendee, it's also completely free for you. So there's no cost whatsoever. You can come and enjoy all of the exhibits and all of the panel discussions at no cost whatsoever. And it's just a really cool place to network, because there's loads of people, including myself, obviously, from our industry, not just the HMO industry, but the wider property investment sector. If you want to get a ticket, get yourself registered, just head to the Property Investment Show. I think the website is www.propertyinvestor.co.uk. Everything you should need is on there. It is at the Excel in London, and I'm pretty sure it is going to be a great day. So I'll look forward to seeing you there. Okay, I think it's about time we got stuck into this conversation with Van. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode of the HMO Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Andy here. We're going to be getting back to the podcast in just a moment, but before we do, I want to tell you very quickly about the HMO roadmap. Now, if you're serious about replacing your income, or perhaps you've already got a HMO portfolio that you want to scale up, then the HMO roadmap really is your one-stop shop. Inside the roadmap, you'll find a full 60-lesson course delivered by me, teaching you how to find more deals, how to fund more deals and raise private finance, how to refurbish great properties, how to fill them with great tenants that stay for longer, and how to manage your properties and tenants for the future. We've also got guest workshops added every single month. We've got new videos added every single week about all sorts of topics. We've got downloadable resources, cheat sheets and swipe files to help you. We've got case studies from guests and community members who are doing incredible projects that you can learn from. And we've also built an application just for you that allows you to appraise and evaluate your deals, stack them side by side and track the key metrics that are most important to you. To find out more, head to the hmoroadmap.co.uk now and come and join our incredible community of HMO property investors.
Van, thanks for coming back onto the show.
Thanks for having me on.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I mean, it feels like it was probably only a month ago, but it was probably more like 2 or 3 years.
I think it was definitely a couple of years ago. And obviously, you and I keep in touch quite regularly, so I think I'm pretty up to speed with what you guys and sort of Coho are up to. But Van, for anyone who's maybe sort of just found the podcast more recently, a bit new to the HMO space, or maybe not totally up to speed with what you're doing, can you let us know what you're up to and sort of what you're doing in the HMO industry? Because you're quite a unique character, I think, for us.
Yeah, so as a quick background to me, I am not a property investor. Instead, I came into the industry with a vision of kind of how HMOs can solve the housing problem, solve a load of community-based problems, a load of mental health problems. Basically, it's just this huge opportunity in my mind. And I came in trying to solve the problem of how basically how we take what we've got with this HMO's bad reputation, etc., to this future way of living, essentially wanting to do to the HMO space, to the shared living industry, what Airbnb did to the holiday lets. So yeah, my view on things is I speak to hundreds, probably close to thousands of people investing around the country and just get their thoughts, their input, where the challenges are, what's going well, and then essentially try and create the tools to make that do better and create communities to bring the people together and share that information between them.
Yeah, and I sort of say this regularly to you when we catch up, and I think you're a really great and very useful source of quite different knowledge, because you do have this unique sort of vantage point over the industry, I'd say. Now you're seeing and working with so many people doing so many different things from so many different parts of the country, where for most of us, we're quite focused on wherever it is that we're investing. And there's so many questions, we see them in the community all the time about, would this work, any advice on this? And actually, the advice could be so different for every person, depending on where they are, what their actual strategy is, what their objective is, what they're trying to do and achieve. So I think it's really interesting talking to you. But, and actually, I think for a lot of people, your objective, Van, is kind of music to our ears, because as an investor, we're just for so long thinking, God, will someone come along and just try and make all this better for us, make things just fit a little bit better, try and streamline the processes? I don't know. And depending on your appetite, Van, maybe even Van for President, Prime Minister one day, sort out this housing crisis for us and get more people into HMOs. But seriously, tell us a little bit more then about what you're doing at Coho and how you're actually trying to fulfill this objective of yours, this vision.
Yeah, sure. So I was a tenant like quite a long time ago now. I was sort of 23, 24, moved into a really, really great house, a really, really great community of houses, which was exactly what I was looking for. I think I, unlike maybe quite a lot of tenants now, I didn't have that same mindset of like, I can't afford to live on my own in a city. I'm going to have to live in a house share. So I kind of had this, I was really fortunate in that I was able to see what I think is possible. And that's always kind of been my strength in business. It's kind of see the end solution and figure out trying to like how to get there. And ultimately, in conversations with the landlord I had at the time, I saw that the way he'd essentially achieve this was by kind of firstly systemizing. He was managing 30 properties from an hour away with him and one handyman, essentially. Like, and he did that through systemizing back in the day when there weren't systems, like even the ones that we know around now, like it was all aimed at big agents. And then the other was kind of just trying to change the mindset in the house, create this culture in the house. And that kind of, I think a lot of, there's actually loads of people who believe in this. It's just, it's so hard to do when you're so busy fighting fires. So my view on making those two things possible essentially is starting from the point of systemizing. How do we build Coho to be like a kind of system out of the box? And that was said to me the other day, where someone's like, literally kind of like, you've provided the system for someone, you've provided the whole like set of processes. And that's kind of the journey so far, is it's a massive, massive barrier of entry to build property management system. I liken it to kind of, if you're building a car, you could have all these really good ideas and we've put all these really amazing things all over it and we've tried to sell it, but then someone's looked and gone, it's only got two wheels and there's no engine. But it's like, yeah, to build property management system, you need all the really cool, awesome things, but you also need all of the boring things that people really need.
As an agency owner as well, I've used various softwares over the years, and this was a huge problem. It was a huge problem for the landlord with a few properties who wanted to focus on building their portfolio, looking after the tenants, providing a great service, maybe actually being able to enjoy the time that that portfolio should give them. And as an agency, having to manage a lot of tenants and a lot of properties and a lot of compliance and a lot of legislation, but there was never anything, there was nothing in the market at all that was kind of fit for purpose. And everything was just botched together. We were sort of clubbing bits of this and bits of that together. And inevitably, things break. It can get quite expensive. It's difficult. It's awkward. It's time consuming. It's difficult as a growing team when you're bringing staff on and things like that. So somebody like you coming and disrupting this space was so interesting to me. And I think the way that you've done it has been really, really interesting. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you are actually doing now in terms of the software and how are you actually helping the small landlord and, you know, the medium size and the agencies?
So I think what was really interesting, so going into this industry, my past two exits were in like quite fast-paced industries. And someone said about how PropTech's behind the times. And I don't think I properly appreciated that, but I had two conversations in the exact same day. One, a small landlord saying, yeah, I mean, Coho looks really good. It's just clearly built for bigger people, not for someone like me. And then one from an agent going, yeah, Coho looks really good, but it's clearly built for landlords. And it's like people just have that mentality because the software is either aimed at a landlord or it's aimed at an agent. And people always err on the side of caution. They assume it's not for them. So what we do, it literally from start to finish pretty much at this point where it's the viewings, handles all the viewings really well, handles the onboarding. Like we've built an onboarding tool that's like competitive with something like GoodLord, that's a full standalone onboarding tool. We've built a maintenance tool in it that's competitive with something like Fixflow, like a full-on maintenance tool. We've replaced WhatsApp, so all the communications are within it. Like the rent collection, I think, is really, really good. The settlement, landlord settlement making thing for agents, great. And it's been difficult. It's been an uphill battle because trying to build something good for agents and landlords, it's a challenge because they have different mentalities. Landlords, they want the good tools, but ultimately they need the basics to be really easy to use. And the agents, they need really good tools. And actually, if they see something easy to use, they assume it's probably not powerful enough, but it is. It's been a journey. And I think we've kind of got to that point now that we are getting that recognition. We're getting some really big agents. We're getting some really prominent landlords. And it's nice because, as you've known, I've had this wider vision that it's just we have to get past this first point to get to the wider vision. So in terms of what we're doing now, we're doing some really, really cool features, like I think really forward-thinking features. But also, I want this to be, I don't say it very often, so I'm going to be kind of imposter syndrome, embarrassed saying it now, but I genuinely want to build a billion-pound company. And it may sound naive, but because there just aren't that many in the UK that's ever existed, I just think we've got the opportunity to do it. And for me, that isn't just a case of trying to tell landlords why the software is good and tell agents why the software is good. It's about starting off on the product, building the best product possible. And essentially, I genuinely believe we're one of like the best kept secrets kind of thing, in that like we've got these really good things, we're just rubbish at marketing them. And that's on me, just because we spend so much time on the product, we don't spend time on the telling people. But ultimately, what we really have to do is improve the reputation of HMOs and help the people who are at the like at the front line of HMOs, the really good investors, the really good managers, create this community so they're sharing information between them and furthering the overall sum of knowledge in the industry. I think that's our role in it, really, is to act as a catalyst.
Yeah, I think you're a catalyst, and you're also at the same time a facilitator. I think it is hard to run and operate HMOs. There are so many moving parts, and I've gone out my way over the last few years, certainly on the podcast, to try and remind people of this. Yes, the cash flow can be a bit better. Yes, it can be a bit more rewarding than the single let alternative or something else. But actually, there's still quite a lot involved. And that is one of the reasons why a lot of landlords do ultimately find it challenging. As soon as you tip over that sort of few properties mark, there can be quite a lot of... We ran a course at the weekend and we put an example on one of the slides, which is about how much management is involved, you know, in just managing one HMO. And if you've got six tenants, there's potentially sort of up to 30 odd certificates that you've got to send out before you can even get all of those tenancy agreements signed and get your house full. And then you've got to remember to renew a lot of those and more. That's not all the certificates. So you are a facilitator. I think the way that you've done it is really interesting. And it's great to see somebody with ideas as big as yours, but also backed by the amount of confidence you've had. I mean, we've been having chats about this industry for a few years now, and I think we're going to talk about this again today. I've got some questions about your thoughts on where things are going, what else we can all be doing. But it feels to me that the narrative is starting to change. I mean, the last few years, we've seen some really good sort of press releases and publications about the way and how people in our industry are doing it, the different, yeah, the standards and examples of some of those standards as well. Some of these have been in really mainstream stuff. Now, I mean, we're not even really scratching the surface. I think if I look inside the roadmap and see all the case studies from our community, I mean, I'm just blown away. We must be about 70, 80 case studies now, and the standard and the type and the, sort of the unbiased sort of opinions and experiences in there just is staggering. And I just kind of wish everybody could see this. Yeah. I wish the local authorities could see this. I wish bad landlords could see this and see how actually they could apply themselves differently and do it in a different way. But the journey for you guys, I mean, it's been bumpy, right? You're growing a tech company. Just how many years into this journey, Van, are we? And what has this actually looked like for you guys so far? Because I know that some interesting things have gone on at Coho recently. And I wanted to just highlight this as well, because I think we'd be doing you guys a disservice not to highlight how hard you've worked and actually what that currently looks like. You want to build a very big company, but actually what you're doing to get there and as almost how the commitment and how much you guys are having to spend to get there and things like that. This isn't something that, you know, it's just, it may have started in your bedroom, but it's certainly, I think we're a bit beyond that now, aren't we, Van?
Yeah, I think I'm usually quite a chill person, but one comment did wind me up last week or the week before is someone that was moving over. I don't want to kind of jump ahead of something we'll talk about, but they moved over and said, and kind of made the comment of like, oh, it's looking good, but like you clearly just sort of still building it at the moment. And it's like, we'll always still be building it. Like a good product doesn't stop. We'll always still be building it. But they had that mindset of like, because we're constantly doing stuff and because we're so visible to our audience that like, that we're earlier, but in reality, we've spent well over $1 million in product development, like well over. I don't even want to calculate it, to be honest, at this point. But I mean, I've just realized I kind of can and I don't like the number. It's high.
It's a big number.
We're sort of coming up to 5 years in a couple of months. We have over 20,000 rooms. We've seen sort of probably in the region of 40,000 tenants come through the system, probably more, I think. It's not a small bit of kit. I've had two previous exits. One was acquired by a top 100 fintech company. And what we've built with Coho is multiple times bigger than the combination of the previous two businesses. So this isn't something small. And what I was kind of saying about wanting to build a £1 billion company is we need to extend the whole industry to allow that to happen. We need to grow the whole space. But actually, something I just wanted to touch on that you previously had mentioned is the difficulty of running HMO. And I think part of that, it sort of clicked for me recently that I think part of that's a bit of a mental side. And that's been with us bringing on new customers. We get so many really nice comments. And it's like each time I get a really nice, yay. And then one bad comment feels like it outdoes. I mean, that's the thing in psychology. One bad outdoes a load of good. Probably like 5-6 good comments can be taken away from one bad. And I think when you're a property manager with single let, you're bringing a tenant in, you've got that onboarding bit. You send them the stuff. It's one person you're sending the 6 certificates to, but you kind of don't hear from them for a couple of years and maybe they need a bit of maintenance, but ultimately you don't hear from them. But as you mentioned, like an HMO with 6 people, that's, I'm going to get terrible maths, but what, 36 different relationships, 30? I don't know how that works. Let's say 30 relationships in that house of anyone who can argue. There's so many touch points for all of the good that's happened in the house, but then for someone to argue and that to mentally be an absolute drain on how you feel about it. And I think like, because the people in the industry are so passionate and so they're working on the business, but they're so in it with how they care about it, I think it can weigh on people. And I think creating these communities of support and like what you said about all the people in your network, like all the things you're seeing on the roadmap, this was how we saw it as well. Like there's so many amazing, amazing things going on, but the newspapers aren't shouting, look at this really bloody good HMO that's popped up with all the tenants that aren't a nuisance, instead looking for the bad landlord. And this was why we created the HMO Awards. Ultimately, it's because the people who are doing good things feel to an extent kind of almost isolated or lonely as it, because they're seeing all of this bad. They have a few people in their network of good, but no, the reality is there's loads of people doing really good things. It's just not getting shouted about. I think what you do is so good and so important.
Yeah, I think we've been facilitating and championing all the great stuff that people out there in our community are doing for our industry and helping people understand, not just investors, actually, other sort of stakeholders and other people with interest in the property market, not least tenants, and I think this is message got to sort of find its way to penetrate tenants and their opinions of HMOs and housing as well, to sort of change this stigma. But I do feel the wheels are starting to turn. I think it's slow, and I think there's a long way to go. And I think, unfortunately, in the UK, we'll always be up against a fairly sort of anti-landlord sort of narrative, because politically it's quite a popular sort of tool to use to generate taxes and things like that. I think we'd need quite a different government to sort of change that. But we're all doing, well, certainly many of us in our community and people who come on the podcast, certainly doing what we can. And you guys are taking it super serious, and it's very, very exciting to see it. I mean, you acquired some more software recently. Mm-hmm. With that, I'm sure brought a lot more customers on. I mean, the HMO Awards, I can imagine running a software company probably feels like that in itself is enough, man.
Yeah.
Organizing an event the size of the HMO Awards, it's no small feat, right? It's expensive. It's a big risk to you guys to running it for the first time as well.
Yeah. I have this personality problem, I'd say, where I don't think about all of the effort something's going to be. If I make a quick judgment that I can do it and it's possible, I'll just do it. And then I'll worry about all of the mental anguish that comes off the back of it afterwards. So like, yeah, the HMO Awards, me and Helen, we were talking about how this sort of thing could be really beneficial to the industry. And I think as I was just walking along on the phone, wasn't a, let's all sit around a board table and come up with it. It's like, yeah, I think we should do it. Let's go for it. Let's start it today. And then look where that grown. Same with, in fact, the exact same situation with the Manor Mind that we did, which brought kind of 40 leading people around the country to a mansion that I hired. I mean, just hiring a mansion, it's just mainly for fun. And then how do I just
look like it?
But that's 10,000 rooms under management all together discussing it. But it's a lot of work. But also it's kind of like, it's fun, it's necessary. And we could be a boring company and just throw all of our money at Google and Facebook, but no one wants that.
Well, let's talk about where all this is going, because I think I've probably got the benefit of knowing a little bit more than maybe our listeners will. And I think this part, and hopefully what is this, the next part of the Coho story, mm-hmm. is super, super exciting. And actually, I know I've been away this weekend, Van, and I noticed you dropped one or two posts just sort of maybe testing this idea with our community. And
yeah,
why don't you talk to us about that? Because this, I think, is, if what you're doing already isn't exciting enough, I mean, this is a whole another kind of level, right?
Yeah. So this is what excites me most. This is like the master plan, in my opinion. Building software, I think, is really good, really important to like save people time. But ultimately, it's like it's a means to an end. Like people want to save time on the software so they can make more money, ultimately. My view has always been, I don't want on my gravestone, just build good property management software. It's what it leads to. So going back to like where I see the industry going, when I looked for an HMO myself, I had this vision of watching TV shows of people sharing houses and having fun. Two comedians I really liked, they met sharing a house when neither of them were famous, and basically like from some having a drink, chatting, led to all these adventures and all these really cool things that happened. That's what I wanted. That was like the naive view of what I was trying to achieve. And then the reality of trying to find it is I go to a website that looks like kind of newspaper listings sort of things. It's here's a property and here's the rent. And I'm like, but where's the housemate that's going to kind of, I'm going to have a good night out with and have like good conversations with at 12 a.m. with a whiskey kind of thing. And that was what was missing. And I ended up kind of, I think I found something on Gumtree in the end that was like, it was about a listed and it was talking about all the people that live in the house. And that was what I was looking for. And I feel that one of the main reasons HMO is held back and hasn't kind of realized its full potential is because we're all at the mercy of only being able to have it as a cheap product. It's an alternative to single let. Very few tenants see outside of that because ultimately they don't know what they're buying until they've got in there and signed the contract. So we always have a ceiling of what the rents can possibly be, and that's some percentage probably below a single let area. Essentially, like if I'm going to create a metaphor, it's like if everybody only sees the pubs in town as rough, kind of why bother investing and having it as really good? Because no one's coming in there to find out. So what we are trying to do at Coho is create the place that tenants find their property. And I won't drop names of who we're clearly trying to compete with.
Well, no, I'm well known for being fairly, fairly direct and very, very black and white. So I'll be sensitive as well. But as an investor, as an agency owner, as someone who has filled a lot of spare rooms and empty rooms, there are very few places where you can actually go and do this and reach a large audience of young people who would be genuinely interested in actually living in a house like that. And the amount of information that you can provide as an agent or as a landlord, and the amount of information that as a tenant you can receive and sort of ask and get, is quite limited. It's almost, to an extent, you take it or leave it, sort of maybe even monopolize a little bit. And I think for a long time, it's felt like we need something different. It's not serving agents, yeah, landlords in the best way, and it's certainly not serving tenants in the right way.
I'll be direct then. So the idea is everyone finds their tenants through Spare Room.
Yeah.
It's served the purpose. It's got people, their tenants, but you need competition in the market. And ultimately, what we want to do is we've recognized that all these really good people, all these really like great properties, it's really hard to see how good they are. It's really hard to see how good the manager is. And it's really hard to see how coherent the housemate experience is and how like all of that's really good. And what we're building is an alternative where it shows off the property, the floor plans, the videos, the 3D tours. It shows off the management and who's managing the property and what they're doing. But most importantly, it shows off the tenants, who's in the property, who you're going to live with. And the way we achieve that is you don't have to know anything about your tenants at all. But when the property is managed on Coho or just listed on Coho, we'll ask those tenants and we'll just say, do you want to share something about you? Because people don't care anymore in the sense of like, you know, they don't want the data being used by companies, but if they're going to get something, people are happy to build a profile. So we find such a high percentage of people say, I'll share something about me if it's going to likely bring someone in that's going to be more compatible in the house. They'll add a picture, they add a bio, they add the job, they add their interests. And this frustrates me, but a few people have made the comment of like, well, I don't want the person moving in to know anything about the house because it might put them off. That is the exact mindset that has made people take an HMO and say, oh, it was really bad. All the people in the house didn't get on. Someone moved in and five people moved out. It's like, yeah, because you've just put a 52-year-old man in with like four 22-year-old women. And it's like, could be a really nice bloke, but it's just not the right environment. And that person probably had no idea. The people in the house had no idea. But actually, if you show who's in the house, it sort of self-selects. Like there's still the same amount of tenants looking. So if you're running one of the better houses, this is exactly what you need to sell the lifestyle, to sell service, to sell it as more than just this is a bed with a roof that's cheaper than something over there.
So there you go, listeners. An exclusive from Van himself. Very exciting. And look, I'm sure you'll have full support of our community, Van. You guys are at the coalface and it's very exciting watching what you guys are doing. And it's certainly exciting listening to you talk about the master plan. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now thinking, yeah, you know what? I think that would be really, really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that unravels. I mean, Van, this is a really, really, really big idea, right? It's a big plan. It's clearly, and you're several years in and you're sort of seven figures in. Obviously, this is very important to you. And you're not the sort of person that's ever struck me as doing anything that you didn't genuinely believe you could actually figure out and do. So you must think about where the HMO market is going or what the opportunity in the HMO market is at the minute. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. What do you foresee and envision from a slightly broader perspective, not simply just from how we rent and find rooms, but as a functioning marketplace, what do you hope to see?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess I would take it out of what we've immediately seen and look at where we are economically, socially, and things like that, right? So community is something that's really important to humans. We basically lost that with social media because it just about psychologically did enough to scratch an itch of I'm in a community, but it actually hasn't. Probably as a result, that's had quite a lot of mental health effects. So let's take that and sort of accept that as something over there. Yeah, we'll leave that there. Then going on to the cost of living and housing. If we look at the population and the housing needs of the population, like it isn't there. We're not going to build enough properties. There's no way through this that's going to sort of make it easier for people. We're kind of at the point where it's at and it's probably not going to get any better. The route that people are looking at is right, let's just build loads more houses. We're quite a small country. And although when you fly over, it's all green, the reality is we don't have the infrastructure to just pop up a load of houses and a load of communities. We're not going to solve the problem that way either. So then you go, okay, well, let's go like Sao Paulo. Let's just build massive blocks. So then you've just got massive blocks of one bed flats, which is then going to further cause the problem of mental health, which we know is causing a big cost on the country in terms of lost employment and productivity and healthcare costs. So that takes me down to, these are essentially facts of where the country is. I mean, okay, let's throw another angle in as well. We have needs of net zero that we have to try and reach. Again, that's really difficult when you've got 1,000 people in a block, all with their own dishwasher or with their own oven. These things, like, you use it once, twice a day, and you've all got one. At the moment, breaks every 3 years, but it's neither here nor there. So anyway, we've got all these problems. And in my mind, the only solution is to have better use of the existing housing stock. So we've got a load of houses, like on my street alone, there's probably 4 or 5 houses that are taken up by one or maybe two people, and they're 5-bed houses. So I'm not for any second saying kick those people out and reuse it better. But we're moving through the baby boomer generation of them leaving their properties at the moment. And those properties are going to come up available for families, but there's probably not going to be enough families because the next generation isn't as populous as the last one. So in my mind, where it's going is different maybe to where it is right now, but where it's going is we need to start making better stock of existing houses. You turn a 4-bed house into a 6-bed shared house with one oven, two ovens instead of 6. You then have this issue where people who spend a load of the time alone in solitude, they work from home, then stay at home after, maybe once a week they meet some friends. But those people are now with 5 other people. They're having that daily interaction, that thing that humans need. But it's 5 people that they hopefully somewhat get on with. They don't avoid in the kitchen kind of thing. And that then spills, hopefully, into the wider community. And then we start to get that community feeling back. Because we know with mental health and psychology that as soon as you start being isolated, it's just a slippery slope and you become more. So where it's going is, I see HMOs as by far the biggest opportunity in future. And we're at the moment, we're just hitting this ceiling because we're in a world where the tenants see it as just the cheap option and they don't want to lower themselves to having to suffer that because they'll be embarrassed. They'll be the one that's living in a shared house with the weirdos. Everybody hates them around because ultimately the only people that choose HMOs can't afford anything else. So the next door neighbors hate it. All of this, it's not a fundamental systemic problem with HMOs. It's a current temporary problem that's a result of where people's mindsets are with them. If all of the people that are doing great things, if that becomes evident, and if we can do our bit in being a catalyst to share it, it starts to make, like, if one person stays in an HMO, they've got friends, they see that HMO, their parent sees the HMO, and if they see it as good, they tell their friends have children. Like, these things spread quite quickly, and it just has to start with an intentional push towards changing that HMO reputation. So where it is now, anyway, the people on Coho are usually quite forward thinking. I've kind of been in a quite lucky position that I'm speaking to a lot of good people. They're doing really well. For the most part, like, one of our metrics is how many people are coming to Coho and how many are leaving, and then how many are leaving because the portfolio is shrinking, as in they used to have 100 units and now they've got 80, and how many had 100 and now they've got 120. The number of people organically growing is probably 6 or 7, probably 8 times the people organically shrinking. And that tells me that at least at the higher end of the market, and when I say higher end, I don't mean more spent on a renovation. I mean someone very intentionally, very mindfully doing HMO versus they've just quickly invested in one because I've heard it's good for money. So at that higher, more mindful end of the market, the people are growing quickly. It's looking really positive. But then on the flip side, I think at the lower end, the people that's, it's a better return than a single, let's say they're doing that, but they don't have the time to actually learn about it. I think that's a really, really challenging space to be in, especially as more people are doing it well. The bar is raising, and if you're not raising with it, you're lowering. And that's kind of why we push the software, is like, you can keep up with this with lower effort if you put the right systems in place. But so yeah, where I see it is, I'm only massively bullish on where the HMO market's going to go.
I recorded an episode last week and I answered the question in that episode, is it too late to invest in HMOs? Because it is a question I get asked a lot. It's always privately and never see it sort of publicly asked in the community. It's always through DM. And it's a hard question to answer without wanting to explain all of the reasons why I agree with you and more. I think actually we're only at the very, you know, you've seen a J curve, obviously, Van. I sort of feel like we're right at the bottom of that J curve. I think we're probably coming out of the worst in terms of what we're prepared to accept as a standard of accommodation and standards of professional management and things like that, and what resources we have as professional investors to utilize to make it better. And things are getting better and things are getting exponentially better. And I think that that'll pick up pace. I agree with a lot of what you said. I think what we'll see as well is the professional HMO market has largely grown off the back of the student HMO market, which is, as you know, absolutely massive and really is like still when you talk about in the sort of the institutional circles, as far as banks and lenders are concerned like that, student lending is a real kind of mainstream asset. Professional housing is still specialist lending. We see it priced into products. We see it through the sort of reduced number of products available. I think we're going to see that change. And actually, it's really interesting. I've been judging for the awards again this year. And my category this year was, I did the agency award last year. And this year, I had the HMO, the residential to HMO. So, and I was blown away. I mean,
big category as well.
But a massive category. It took me hours and hours and hours and hours. And I genuinely deliberated so hard. But what was abundantly clear was how professional this sector is getting. And yes, we might be looking at like the tip of the iceberg there, but the lending and the types of facilities that people have been able to access, the support that they've been able to get from banks 3, 4, 5 years ago, that just wasn't apparent. It wasn't there. So I think we're going to see a detachment from the sort of the mainstream sort of student asset class in HMO space. We'll see the professional sector grow, stand up on its own two legs. I think it's starting to, but it's a long way to go. And then I think what we'll see is as we're seeing purpose-built student stuff now, I think we'll start to see a lot more purpose-built professional. And if you look in the big cities, London, Sheffield, Manchester, there are a few, but I mean, literally a handful. And it's crazy when you look statistically at how many people are staying in these big cities after they finish their studies and finish, they graduate, they stay on, they need accommodation. Well, usually what happens is they sort of scrabble around and have had to sort of pick at the bones of kind of what's not being used in the student market. So I think that that's going to change as well. And on top of that, and this is where I think it gets really exciting, got to look a little bit further ahead than sort of 5 to 10 years, but I think 10 to 20 years, I think this transference of wealth now, you know, landlords typically in the private sector are of, generally speaking, a particular age. They're getting to a point where they have made a lot of money in this sector and they probably don't have the energy or inclination to do the sort of stuff that we're talking about. And naturally, they'll decide that it's probably time for me to just kind of hand the reins over, either pass it to their children or liquidate their assets, put it up for sale. A lot of money will come into the economy, but I think a lot of properties suitable for the sort of stuff that we and our community talk about. So I just think the next 10 to 20 years looks really, really exciting. I genuinely see the professional market being as mainstream as the student market and of a similar size to the student market, which I think is just really, really cool. Really, really exciting.
I mean, I'm going to push further on that and say, yeah, I mean, the level it's progressing, like if we look a few years ago, we didn't have management companies of the same quality as like Cozy Living and Barbaris, you know, the people who are kind of coming at the market, like really understanding the tenant's needs, really like pushing on that and professionalizing. But what we're missing out on, and that I don't think the student bit can get there, yeah, that will do it. But what we're missing is the lifestyle piece at the moment. So single let, it can never sell a lifestyle. You literally, it's bricks and mortar. You get in a home there. But the lifestyle angle is understood in so many industries. It's the reason why a Mac can sell for so much higher than if you took the parts out of it and put them back together and put it into a Linux or something. Like why a Chromebook sells at so cheap, because I use a Chromebook, but like no one thinks you're cool for using a Chromebook yet. If you've got a Mac, it's like automatically, it's the image that you're portraying about yourself. Now, there's a lot of people moving to cities. They're not poor people. They're getting good jobs and stuff like that. And they actually probably want to live in a trendy place. Now, when I lived in one, I had friends that were somewhat jealous of the house parties I had. It's like I lived in this place with actually cool people. We're out all the time. We had these parties. The house was never trashed or anything like that. It was the lifestyle that I valued in that house. So if I had £1,000 now to figure out, am I going to get £1,000 single let place of £1,000 HMO, I'd actually pay more to live in a nice big house with a garden, big kitchen, and people I get on with than I would to have my own space. And I think at that point, I think it becomes really interesting where right now, like the valuations of HMO, the rent we can get is at a certain level based on where we are in the market. And actually selling the lifestyle on top and the service, I think we can see it start to go higher.
Like people prepared to just pay a lot more, like say for a MacBook than they are a PC, mm-hmm. because exactly. you know it represents something more than just the ability to use Microsoft Word and build a PowerPoint on, doesn't it?
Yeah. And even if you go to TVs, you know, if you can take an almost like for like, but brand it in the right way, and you have now got something mm-hmm. that you can double the price on versus mm-hmm. this one over here that looks like you've just pulled it off a market.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's difficult because it's very sort of chicken and egg at the minute. As professional investors, it's hard to really stick your neck out. And actually, as soon as you do stick your neck out, someone wants to sort of chop your head off. The banks don't like it, that there's not enough confidence there. And I think that this is what I'm saying. And I'm seeing the wheels are slowly turning. The opinion and the attitude and the appetite is all starting to change for the good, which I think is really, really, really exciting.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we could probably just chat on and on and on and on and on about this stuff, Van. But for the benefit of our investors, we should probably look at wrapping up today. But I'm sure at the very least, today's been a really inspiring episode for anyone still thinking or maybe sitting on the fence or wondering what the future holds for HMOs. For anyone maybe who's underway, finding it tricky, finding it hard, you know, just juggling all the stuff, particularly from a management point of view, where do they need to go? What is the kind of the best way to look at how you guys can help them? Is it to head over to Coho?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would sign up for Coho and build your systems around what we're doing. Obviously, I'm biased, so take that with a pinch of salt, but it's coho.life, L-I-F-E. And I think even if you're, so many people are sitting on a spreadsheet and going, the spreadsheet kind of does the job. Horses did the job until cars came along. It's like you don't realize what you don't have until you try it. So yeah, I'd start from that point and be part of the kind of the revolution of HMOs.
Well, I think that is a gooder place to end today's podcast as anywhere. Horses used to do the jobs, but not anymore. Go and check Coho, guys. Van, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always, just catching up with you and talking shop. I'm super excited about what you guys are doing. I'm really actually quite proud to see somebody like you taking this sort of baton and sort of on everybody's behalf, really, just kind of running with it. And because I think this is clearly not just for your benefit, although I'm sure, you know, it'll all be worth it when you've got a few zeros in the bank account when it does get that $1 billion valuation one day. But genuinely, I think that, and I hear this regularly, what you're doing is making what a lot of people in our industry are doing a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable. And I think that's something that you should be really proud of as well, Van. So thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for organizing the awards as well. Looking forward to that.
And well, thank you as well. Thank you for your ongoing support in direct, like what you do with the group, with the HMO platform. I think it's so good. And thank you for your involvement in the awards. Like it's people like you that's making everything possible.
Oh, cheers, Van. Well, maybe after we wrap up now, we'll talk about my shares in Coho. Eh? Van, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming and sitting down with me today. And I look forward to catching up with you in person at the HMO Awards.
Cool. Very soon. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you found that conversation with myself and Van interesting and insightful. I hope you enjoyed it. And I think you'd agree that Van is one smart cookie and he is doing some pretty cool stuff in our space. I do love catching up and chatting to Van about all things HMO and property and business. And don't know about you, but I'm a huge supporter of what they're doing. And I can't wait to see how this all unfolds for them. I'll certainly be cheering them on all the way. Don't forget that if you want to level things up, if you want to take what you're learning on the podcast to another level, then head to the hmoroadmap.co.uk because that's where you will find all of our interactive lessons, our downloadable resources, all of our case studies from community members, everything you could possibly need and more is waiting for you inside the HMO Roadmap. It really is an incredible resource, just jam-packed full of things that'll save you loads of time, that'll save you loads of money, and it'll help accelerate your results. And look, don't take my word for it. Go and check out some of the testimonials that we've got on the website, thehmoroadmap.co.uk. It's all there, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Now, before I go, a huge but very quick favour. It's certainly not the first time I've asked, and it's probably not going to be the last time either, but we have thousands, tens of thousands, in fact, of listeners every single month to the show. which we're hugely proud of, and we appreciate and are grateful for every second of your time. But we still only have about 80 reviews of the show. I think we're pretty much 5 stars, which is incredible. But if you're a regular listener of the show, maybe you've even just discovered the show, but you found it, or you find it interesting, insightful, you enjoy it, you find value in it, if you could leave a quick review. It'll take you no more than about 30 seconds. Let us know what you think if you like, but more than anything, just leave a quick review. Hopefully it's worthy of 5 stars, but it would mean the world to us. It helps us be able to continue spreading the message about the podcast, reach new audiences, continue to get the positive attention that our sector deserves, and promote all of our guests and our wider community and all the great things that you guys are doing. So if you have got 30 seconds and you are enjoying the show and you find it useful, we would really, really, really appreciate just 30 seconds more of your time to leave a quick review. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify as well. Okay, that is officially it for today's episode. Thank you once again. And don't forget that I'll be right back here in the very same place next week. So please join me then for another installment of the HMO Podcast.